Good to be here. Good to see a full room, almost, as we can do it in these times. What I want to talk on tonight is really to stir you up in faith. This is a time, I believe, that's a crucial crossing time for the church. People are feeling, because it's going on so long, this COVID, people are getting tired, they're getting discouraged, they're looking forward when they can get back to how it was before. Beloved, it won't go back to what it was before, because God's doing something brand new. So if you're putting your faith in that, you've got some disappointments. And I just sense in Christianity generally, there's a feeling of hope deferred, makes the heart sick. And many people are struggling with their faith and their who they're believing. And I believe there's a battle going on between your belief system in Christ and the world's belief system. Amen. And faith is at the center of that. And I want to encourage you tonight. Are you in faith? Really in faith? Are you expecting good things, not bad things? Are you expecting the promises of God that you've heard for many years to be fulfilled? Because that's crucial right now. So when you get up in the morning, no mumbling and groaning about the virus. Turn the news off. Amen. Turn the news off. If you are listening to more of the tally news than you are reading the word, you're in trouble in these days. Because that's the whole belief system of the world coming at you. And if you're spending 5 minutes in the Word of God and listening to an hour of news, you ain't going to be in a good place. Amen? Because our faith is not in politicians. You've seen that. Your faith is not in scientists. They can't agree amongst themselves what's going to happen. Your faith is not in even the medical field, because they too haven't got the answers. There's only one person who's got the answer, and he's working through this to change the church, to change you, and to build your faith. See, faith has to be tested. And what a test we've had. But where are you right now? Are you growing in faith? Are you growing in expectancy? Are you growing in excitement? I am. Because God's at work to bring harvest. God's at work to change the church. And if you're not expecting that and praying for that, then you are not in faith. Amen? So let's look a little bit at faith. Okay, one or two very quick points. Faith is key to life in the spirit. It's the difference between living in the flesh and living in God. So who are you believing? Are you living in the flesh? Are you living in fear? Or are you living in the spirit? People are getting complacent about the virus. People are saying, well, it will end sometime. And they've lost their zeal to get on their knees and pray and be part of the answer. Because it's prayer that's going to turn it around. Nothing else. And we need to wake up, church. We have a part to play in this. Not to sit back and wait for everyone to sort it out. God is waiting for the church right now, I believe. And I don't believe you'll see much change until we get the message. So the choice is ours. So we've got a battle going on between two competing forces for your belief. Who are you believing right now? What are you believing right now? Is your faith growing, expectant, looking forward to what's to come? Or are you digging in, kind of survival mode, you know? Digging a hole behind your bunker so that you're unable to function as a spirit-filled Christian. 1 Timothy 5, 1 verse 5 talks about Timothy's unfeigned faith. That's what it says in the King James, that was passed down from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. What does that word unfeigned mean? It means sincere, genuine, true. To feign anything means to pretend. And that's the question we have to answer. Is your faith real in these times? Because it's only when you come up against something like this, you discover how big and how true and how secure your faith is. And Paul encourages us to have a genuine, sincere faith that will change our lives. To take off the mask of pretense. And if you're in trouble, admit you're in trouble, get before God and get your faith back in what God is saying and doing. See, true faith is the only thing that will cause you to remain whole and well at this time. Faith is the only thing that keeps us whole, body, soul, and spirit. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We are saved through faith. You're going to heaven because of faith. If you start believing anything else in this time just because of the pressure, watch out. That faith is secure. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in the Lord Jesus. We are justified by faith. We are made holy by faith. And if we fall into fear, we're falling into unbelief, which is sin. And that's not faith. So we've got some choices to make as these things come at us. Acts 26:18. Those who are sanctified by faith in me. Hallelujah. We're sanctified. We're made pure because we believe in the one who has created us and in his sovereignty. And most important of all, 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by faith. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. We're being kept at this time through faith. Amen? And so we need to build that faith. We need to extend that faith. And we get faith from hearing the word of God, by speaking the word of God, by acknowledging God, not believing all the rubbish that is being debated on the TV. You can't believe any of it, to be honest. We need to tune in to what God is doing. All the graces of God are entered through faith, the doorway of faith. That's how we get all the graces of God. Not fear, not anxiety, not hanging around in there, but by faith. Romans 5:11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God and rejoice in the hope of his glory. Are there times at the moment when you're not in peace? Are there times when the fear creeps in or the confusion creeps in? Good test of faith is peace. Are you at peace? Are you putting the control in God's hands? And we know from Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to believe God. So I want to show you from a psalm very quickly how David dealt with the kind of issues that we're talking about. If you look up Psalm 27, Psalm 27 tells us that David was in trouble. He was having his COVID nightmare. And it starts off not by him bowing to it, but believing his place in God. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Who shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. The war rises up against me. In spite of this, I shall be confident." Hallelujah. He was facing tough times. But where did he go in that tough time? He went to God. He immersed himself in the truth. And he felt a lot better for it. Then verse 4 onwards, he begins to prophesy to himself. It's about time we prophesied what the church is going to be doing in 2 years' time, 3 years' time. Let's start prophesying positive things. You hear a lot of prophecies about what's going on at the moment. Some of them are total rubbish, doom and gloom. You know, we're about to see the second coming any minute. No, you're not. God's got some things to do before then. And so don't listen to the prophecies. Weigh every prophecy. So he prophesies, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle." He's prophesying what's going to happen to himself. "In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." That's what we should be doing right now. Amen. Not worrying, but singing praises to the Lord who has the answers, who will release us in due time. Then he goes on, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be anxious to me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witness have risen against me, and such as these breathe out violence. I would have despaired." He's admitting he's in such a situation. If he was relying on his own belief system and not the faith he had in God, he said, "I would have despaired. With what's happening in my life, I would have despaired unless I had believed faith that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." That's the verse I want you to take away with you. Your despair, unless you believe to see the goodness of the God come upon you and the church in the land of the living. What does that mean? It means now. It means in the time that we live. We're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. We're not seeing it much now. We're not in some places, but that's what's going to happen. You watch. God is going to move with mighty power. And we're going to see the goodness of God. How many here can hold your hand up and honestly say, "God has not been good to me"? Come on, remember, he's always good to you. And he's going to be good to you again. No matter what you're doing now, what you're feeling now, or what you're going through now, the goodness of God will be seen in the land of the living if you hold on to your faith. And that beautiful psalm finishes, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." Amen. So there are some keys there. Very, very, very briefly, there's some keys there. How can we cooperate with what God is doing right now with this COVID? Is there anything we can do? Yes, there is. Find out what he wants you to do now. Amen? You're a child of faith. God responds to faith. If you start moving in faith, God will use you. God will strengthen your faith. God will release signs and wonders to you. God will give you opportunities for witness. Amen? Find out what he's doing. Don't listen to Professor Witty. You won't get much prophecy from him. But listen to what God is saying. Find out what he's saying in your life right now and what he wants you to do. See, John 5:19 says that Jesus only did what the Father, he saw the Father doing. What is God up to in your life right now? Find out. That's the only way I've stayed sane for the last 3 months, because I've known what God wanted me to do day by day by day. What are we going to do today, Lord? Who do you want me to phone today, Lord? Who do you want me to see today, Lord? What book do you want me to read today, Lord? Find out. Where is that in your life right now? Secondly, prayer needs to be our first response, because prayer will change those around you. We should be asking, who are we going to pray for? Amen? That was David's reaction. He waited upon the Lord. He spent time in God's presence. He went into the tabernacle in praise and worship with other people of like mind. And together they prayed for his goodness to come upon them. And thirdly, see and speak faith. See and speak faith. See, the enemy right now wants you to be negative, wants you to speak negative, wants you to think negative, wants you to share negative things. Don't fall for it. Speak faith. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Pray for those divine appointments. I believe we're going to see a breakthrough in salvation if the church rises to the challenge of faith. Amen? Because it will turn everything around right now. Hallelujah. And just to bring it really up to date, because I've got connections with apostolic teams around the world, I get snippets of good news from all over the world. And it's a great privilege to me to have friends in Iran and Iraq and some of the Islamic nations. And I got a magazine this week that says, this is from Iran and Iraq, says, we are not on pause. Evangelism, discipleship, and church growth have increased in the age of COVID-19. Hallelujah. This is not airy-fairy. This is real. It's happening now. It's happening now. In recent history, Iranian Christians have experienced the living God at work in dark and hostile situations. So when the coronavirus began spreading like wildfire across the Iran region, Iranian church leaders did not panic. Rather, they maintained a deep conviction that God will continue to work in the crisis. So instead of hitting the pause button, the church clicked on fast forward. And praise the Lord is growing. While the Iranians were already open to the gospel, the current situation has only increased the gospel. And as a result, many people are coming to Christ. That's what I'm saying. Let's raise our faith. Let's not look at COVID as a negative thing. There's so many things God wants to do with us and for us. And so it goes on. There's been a fast forward on prayer. The church in Iran has always been a praying church. So when coronavirus began to spread across Iran, the church went into prayer. Thousands of Iranian believers joined in a focused 40-day prayer effort, and every day people across the Persian-speaking world pray with passion for the nation of Iran. By God's grace, we're already seeing some astonishing answers to prayer. Oh, that the Christians in this nation would call 40 days of prayer and fast. That would accelerate what God has on his heart. Now it says, fast forward on evangelism. Iranians were already open to the gospel, but grave fear surrounding COVID made them even hungrier for spiritual truth. House church leaders decided to encourage every believer to be an evangelist. Believers have responded with courage. They call family and friends and tell them that they have a hope in Jesus. The result is that many more Iranians are coming to Christ. Now, this is in a nation where they can be persecuted if they share their faith. They're not on hold. They're fast forwarding. They're fast forwarding. Hallelujah. And they're also fast forwarding on discipleship. They're fast forwarding on church planting. The increase in evangelism and one-to-one discipleship has meant that small groups of new believers have been forming all over Iran. But these small groups have not trained pastors, and they started asking for help. By God's grace, we are already developing a new resource that will help them share their gospel. Within the first 6 months of this year, since COVID hit, there have been 100 new house churches formed in Iran. Nothing's on hold there, folks, because Jesus is at work. It is now that Christian witness should shine brighter than ever. It's happened in the past. It's happening in Iran now. And we believe it can continue no matter what the circumstances. Amen? Mission accomplished. I just wanted to raise your spirit tonight. God can do it. But he needs us to cooperate and start putting into practice those things that we've been hearing for the last year, so that we can enjoy the fruits of the revival that's to come. And I believe when the church gets its act together, then the COVID thing will be past history. God is at work. Amen. Bless you.